Hello, and welcome to a podcast about musical history. I am Devin, your host and role model. Before we go any further, I would like to calibrate your brain and body for an optimal listening experience. When you hear the saw synth tone in your left ear, push your thumb against your forefinger on your left hand. Good. Now, when you hear the sound of an innocent soul being sucked out of someone in your right ear, do the sign of the cross. Excellent. Now your brain and body are fully calibrated, and as a bonus, the likelihood of you having your soul ripped away from you has been reduced by a little bit. Congratulations, and guess what? This is Songdoers. Episode 7, 2131-2. 2131-2 was a Canadian skate punk band from Bowmanville, Ontario. Their lead singer and songwriter, Dennis Scugog, named the band after his grade 9 locker combination, which unfortunately made his locker the easy target of many thefts, and he had to carry his belongings around from class to class in a heavy bag. But that didn't bother Dennis, because as you will soon find out, Dennis was a really nice guy. Dennis was born in 1983 in Oshawa General Hospital. He was such a well-behaved baby that he won Baby of the Month, an honor the hospital bestows on only 12 babies a year. On the taxi ride home, Dennis was so incredibly calm that the taxi driver did not charge Dennis's parents for the ride. Later in his life, when Dennis was made aware of this, he attempted to pay back the driver. When he learned the driver had passed away, Dennis placed an air freshener at his grave. That's how nice Dennis is. Dennis is so nice that in elementary school he was voted most likely to continue to be nice, much to the chagrin of future bandmate Alex Astrid, who said in an interview with the school newspaper that Dennis's niceness came natural to him, while Alex had to work at his. And wasn't it more impressive to work at something than to just be naturally good at it? No one agreed. Alex and Dennis eventually resolved their differences, and in grade 9 they formed 2131-2. It was at this point that Dennis started to change from being a nice guy to being a really nice guy. He organized food drives, volunteered with Amnesty International, and donated a kidney to a former bully. The media largely ignored his altruistic efforts, but they couldn't ignore his band. They were selling out community centers and gymnasiums across the Durham region. Then, the unthinkable happened. Alex died. The circumstances around Alex's death were suspicious, with some suspecting foul play and blaming Dennis for what happened. The events unfolded as follows. Dennis and Alex were about to play a corporate concert for General Motors in Oshawa because the GM brass craved underground high school punk music. 2131-2 had been practicing the day before in a rehearsal studio in Bowmanville. The walls of the rehearsal space were thin, and some passers-by said they heard arguing from inside the studio. It was no secret that Alex had been struggling with the complicated guitarmonies that Dennis had written, and though Dennis never showed any frustration on stage, entries from Alex's diary showed that Dennis was slipping more and more into his loud man persona, an abrasive character he would sometimes do for his friends and family. Loud man said and did things Dennis would never do, but as Dennis explained in a police interrogation, that's why loud man was funny. After the rehearsal, Dennis and Alex got into Dennis's car and went for a drive. What happened next is disputed, but the following is Dennis's version of events. According to Dennis, he was driving Alex home on a new route past the Bowmanville Cliffs. Dennis chose this new, different route because the road near the cliffs had many twists and turns, and Dennis wanted to test out his new Firestone tires. When Alex saw the cliffs, he suddenly asked Dennis to stop the car near the edge, which Dennis did. Alex then got out of the car and said he wanted to jump off the cliffs to see if he could fly. Dennis protested, but Alex was too fast and leapt off the cliffs to his death. It is worth noting that Alex's family have stated repeatedly that they consistently made Alex aware of his limitations, and therefore he could not have been confused about whether or not he had the ability to fly. They accused Dennis, a really nice guy, of pushing Alex off the cliff. Their case comprised three main points.
Point number one.
As the prosecution pointed out at a subsequent trial, Dennis's DNA was found under Alex's fingernails, indicating a struggle. On the witness stand, Dennis offered up really strong hugs as the explanation for this. Point number two. Although investigators confirmed that Dennis did recently install new Firestone tires on his car, there is no record of Dennis purchasing or installing them before the drive to the cliffs. According to Dennis, this is because he bought them in cash on the side of the road from an unidentifiable tire salesperson. Odd, but possible.
Point number three.
Since Alex's legs did not work, he used a wheelchair for mobility. He would have had great difficulty running to and jumping off of the cliffs. Okay. The case against Dennis was strong, but in the end, the jury did not convict him. When interviewed afterwards, jury members said they could not see Dennis doing anything to harm anyone. He seemed like too nice of a guy. Dennis replaced Alex with a guitar-playing robot, and 2131-2 enjoyed decades of success before disbanding in 2015 so Dennis could focus on his Facebook page. Now let's all enjoy this 2005 hit by 2131-2, Kingdom of Kindness.
Of kindness, where the good guy is on the throne, and he slays his enemies with kindness, then he burns down all of their homes. I want to fight in the kindness army to eliminate the unkind. They will suffer in our dungeon, then they'll leave this world behind.
That's everything for today's episode. To obtain a hard copy of this episode, head to your nearest cemetery. Find the gravesite of the first person who lies there alphabetically. Dig until you hit a wooden box. Open the wooden box. Inside should be a skeleton. Inside the skull of the skeleton will be a compact disc with this episode on it as a lossless wave file. The compact disc will be on CDRW, but do not write over this episode. If you do, that skeleton that you took it from will come to life and hunt you. Email me at songdoers@gmail.com if you dug up a physical copy. I want to hear all about it. Goodbye!